You're glad God makes no mistakes. Amen. He's always right and always on time and knows exactly what He's doing. Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll begin reading there in verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. We have been studying the commands of the Lord Jesus that He gave to us while He was here in His earthly ministry. And we want to continue that this morning, and we'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. We'll read verse 14, 15, and 16. Would you read those three verses together with me out loud? All right? Ready? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is an awesome privilege to come into your presence. Not only as we pray, but as we preach and listen to your word. You've said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And there are many more than two or three here today, and we thank you for your presence. We are honored to be in your presence. We also want to honor you by our coming to be here. We thank you for each one that has done so this morning. And Lord, we pray that you will cause our hearts, our mind, our spirit, our will to be open to you today. And to once again allow you to give us instruction and direction for our lives so that we can be the disciples that you would have us to be. And I pray that we'll build these truths and these commands into our life so that we can follow your ways and please you and have your blessings on our life. For those that are here today that may not know Christ as Lord and Savior, would you help them to open their heart to you and get on board and become a part of the family? The family of God, and become one of your disciples and live for you and follow you and serve you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject, let your light shine. There's some notes on the back of the bulletin if you'd like to fill those out. As we talk about these commands, and we'll review in just a moment the ones that we've already studied, but each of the commands has with it a corresponding character trait. You understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the personification of all good character. Whenever you talk about character, good character, we talk about godly character, and Christ is that character. Here we find that Scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The character quality that goes along with letting our light shine is the word generosity. Being generous. Generosity is demonstrating the nature of God by wisely investing the resources that He has given us. Let me say that again. Generosity is demonstrating the nature of God by wisely investing the resources that He has given to us. As we wisely invest the resources God's given to us, we are letting our light shine in this world. And you'll see that as we go along this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ said to us that we are to go into all the world and teach all nations. We're to win people to Christ. Then we're to baptize them. And then we're to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, He said. That's the making disciples. We're teaching them the commands whatsoever I have commanded you. And we're commanded of the Lord to teach those commands. That's the Great Commission. That's what He gave to His disciples just before He went back to heaven. His last words, His last instructions were to go win people to Christ, baptize them, and then teach them what I've commanded you. And so that's what we've been doing the last several weeks. We've been teaching the commands of the Lord. The first command that we studied was the word repent. The Bible says in Matthew 4:17, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This command tells us how we can be restored in fellowship with God and how we can become qualified to enter the kingdom of God. And then the second command we studied was, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, if we will follow him, if we'll follow his ways, if we'll live for him, he'll make us fishers of men. We'll reach men and women for Christ, draw them to Christ. And so God wants us to have in our lives a total change of our goals and our priorities so that we become fishers of men. That becomes the top priority of our life. What if I asked you this morning, write, what are your priorities for your life? Would you write them down? Would becoming fishers of men be a top priority in your life? It should be, because Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. And then last week we talked about the third, which is the word rejoice. The Lord said we're to rejoice when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, in Matthew 5 and verse number 11. We're to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. This third command reveals the secret to our becoming bright lights so that people are attracted to the love and God's truth in our life. Now, after we pass the test of persecution and reproach and evil speaking, and we have the joy in our lives, people begin to notice that. Amen? People notice when you go through problems. They notice when you're persecuted. They notice when you're reviled. And God wants us to let our light shine so that people are drawn to him. And we rejoice. And this morning we want to talk about letting our light shine. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. He wants us to let our light shine. And it's not so much our good words, though those are important, as it is our good works. God wants other people to see Christ and glorify him. Now you say, all right, preacher, what is a good work? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. A good work is meeting the basic needs in the life of another person and, wherever possible, letting their authorities get the credit for it. Let me say that again. Meeting the needs, the basic needs, in the life of another person and, whenever possible, letting their authorities get the credit for it. You see, doing good in this way allows people to see that we have genuine love for them, not just a motive of some type of personal gain. In other words, I'm not trying to get the credit for it. I'm doing good deeds and letting the authorities of others get the credit for it. After people see those good works and that light in our life, they'll want to know a reason for the hope that lies within us, the Bible says. And they will be much more attentive to us as we share our testimony. They'll be much more responsive to the words of the gospel when we tell them about Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about letting our light shine, you and I are to let our light shine in this world. And as we do that, we have to understand that if there is light, there also has to be what? Darkness. All right? And you and I are to let our light shine. I brought a light with me this morning. And we're supposed to take our light and we're to let our... Wait a minute, Paul. Wait till I tell you. Don't get ahead of me, man. I'm preaching, not you, okay? All right? You look at this light. If I let this light shine and all the light is on around, it's not very bright, is it? And if I try to shine it up there or shine it on the screen, you can't even see it when I go away from it. Now, when we turn the lights out, Brother Paul, and there's darkness there, then what happens to this light that I have? All of a sudden, this light's a whole lot brighter, isn't it? See, you can see it a whole lot better. And I can take this light, and we got one more back there that we need to take off, Brother Paul. I don't know what number that is, but you check the other end, maybe. There we go. All right, see, now I can put it up on the screen. You can see that. How many of you see that better than you did when all the light was on? Amen? Amen. You can see that light. In the darkness, when you and I let our light shine, it shines a whole lot brighter because we're in a dark world, aren't we? And we're to let our light shine. Okay, Brother Paul, you can turn the lights back on. Thank you, sir. Now, what is the purpose, then, of darkness? Well, first of all, it was to wake you up. I wanted you to listen to me this morning. What's the purpose of darkness? There's a reason for darkness. Darkness was one of the first elements that is identified in creation. Go back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1 and look with me at verses 1 and 2. And by the way, let me just ease your mind a little bit this morning. I will not finish all of this message this morning. We'll probably finish some of it tonight. So I'm not going to keep you here till late. All right. That'll ease your mind a little bit ahead of time. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And what was upon the face of the deep?
Darkness.
Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It was not until God created light that He separated darkness. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." God separated the light from the darkness. Throughout Scripture, God creates both darkness and light. Now, let me just say this. Light is incompatible with darkness. Amen? When we turned those lights down, it was dark in here, right? But when Brother Paul turned the lights back up, light and darkness are not compatible. So what happened to the darkness? It's gone, wasn't it? God divided the light from the dark. He divided the day from the night and so forth. And just as God separates light from darkness on the first day of creation, God wants to separate the children of light from the children of darkness in this world today. And to the degree, now write this down somewhere on your bulletin or in your Bible somewhere, to the degree that we try to partake of the world, we diminish our brightness. Let me say that again. To the degree that you and I try to partake of the world or be like the world or be a part of the world, we diminish our brightness in this world. As we partake of the world, what happens to our brightness? It gets darker. We become dark like the world. That's why a Christian can't hold on to the world with one hand and on to God with the other hand and try to make a difference in the world. We become very dim lights in this world. We become dark. To the degree that we try to partake of the world, we diminish our brightness in this world. Now, I want you to notice some examples of how God used darkness to gain greater glory for Himself. There's a number of them, and we'll look at some of them this morning. Go with me to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 21. First of all, darkness inspires awe. Darkness inspires awe. And in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 21, the Lord had just given the Ten Commandments in the first part, first 17 verses of Exodus chapter 20. And He comes to the end of giving the Ten Commandments. And in verse 18, He says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." Here's Moses. He's on the mount. God's given him the Ten Commandments. And boy, there's some strange things going on in that mountain. God's doing something tremendous and important. And these people just stand in awe as they see it. Verse number 19. "And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." They had such fear that they said, "Moses, you talk to God and then you come tell us what God said." We're afraid to talk to God ourselves. Aren't you glad we can come talk to God ourselves? Paul said in Timothy, we have one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. We have a mediator. We don't have to fear. We don't have to say, "Preacher, would you go talk to God for me? I'm afraid to talk to Him." You can go talk to Him just like I can. Amen. We have that communication with Him. So they stood afar off, the Bible says. Verse number 20, "And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." God used the darkness to inspire awe, to let the people know a little bit of the awesomeness of our God. Secondly, if you'll back up to chapter 10 of Exodus, look at verses 21 and 22. Darkness not only inspires awe, but darkness also reveals God's power to create it. It reveals God's power. God is the one who created the darkness and the light. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over all the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days." God wanted to let the people know that He was a powerful God, and He could create darkness. Can you imagine what it would be like if you got up this morning and it was pitch dark? Now, some of you got up early enough and it was dark outside. But what happens when you have a real cloudy day and you can't see the moon and you can't see the stars? It's much darker outside, isn't it? The Bible says this darkness was so dark the people could feel it. And for 3 days, what if you got up this morning and it was dark? And all day long it was dark. And all night it's dark. You got up Monday morning and it's dark all day long. And all night long. You get up Tuesday morning and again it's dark. Just so dark you can't see any. You ever been somewhere that was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face? This was darkness. God said, "I want these folks to know, these Egyptians to know, that the God of the Israelites is powerful enough to create darkness. He's a powerful God." And then thirdly, darkness is a form of God's protection. If you look over a little bit farther in Exodus chapter 14, God used the darkness to protect the children of Israel. In verses 19 and 20, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 19, he says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and what? Darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." The Egyptians were coming after the Israelites. They were going to destroy them. They had fled. They had spoiled the land. They had taken, borrowed gold and jewelry and all kinds of things from the Egyptians. And they left. They finally let them go. And when they got out their little ways, Pharaoh said, "What am I doing? Why did I let them go? Let's go get them." And he got the army together and took off after them. And when they got close, God took the pillar of cloud that was in front of the Israelites. Daytime, a cloud. They could follow the cloud. God put the cloud behind them and made it dark for the Egyptians. They couldn't see the Israelites. And God put a pillar of fire in front of the Israelites so they could see where they were going. God used the darkness as protection. Sometimes God uses darkness as a form of protection for us. And then darkness also is a motivation to seek the hidden things of God. In Job chapter 12 and verse 22, the Bible says, "He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death." Isaiah 45 and verse 3 says, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." You know, it's a wonderful thing to dig into God's Word and search out the hidden things, the deep things. It's a motivation, darkness. Somebody asks you a question about something and you don't know the answer. What do you do? I'll go ask the preacher, or I ask my husband or my wife or my son. Get into the Word of God and ask God to show you and study it out. Darkness is a motivation to seek the hidden things of God. And then darkness confounds the wicked. In Proverbs 4, verse 19, the Bible says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." The way of the wicked is as darkness. I want to tell you something. Last week, trying to think of what night was it? Wednesday night we had the debate, the political debate. I'll let you in on a little secret. I and a lot of other people prayed for God to give darkness and confusion in that debate. You wonder why there was such a contrast in what took place? There were Christians all over this country praying for God to bring darkness and confusion. You see, God knows exactly what to do and how to do it. And God uses darkness sometimes to confound the wicked. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of wickedness in politics on both sides. And the answer for America, though I think one political candidate would be better than the other, the answer for America is not in who's elected for the next president. The answer for America is right here in this book. And it's in this place and places like this in churches across the country that will preach the Word of God and teach the truth. And what we stand for is not a political party. What we stand for is truth. We stand for life. We stand for the light that shines through the Word of God. And God sometimes uses darkness to confound the wicked. And then God also uses darkness. It's used for punishment. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." God uses darkness for punishment. Matthew 22 and verse 13, "Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When a person dies and goes to hell, you think of, and the Bible says it's a place of fire and a place of torment. But there is a sense of fire. We think of fire, this bright fire is going to give light. This is not going to be a bright fire that gives light. It's going to be a darkness that will be upon that fire. It's like the darkness that comes from the smoke that comes off of a fire. You ever see a fire from a distance? You see a building or a factory or something that's burning? We were kids. We had a large family. I had 9 kids in our family, and we didn't have much. There were 6 boys. Our responsibility every day when I come home from school in the winter months, my responsibility with my brothers was to go out and cut wood. We had to go in. We had about 50 acres of woods behind our house, and we had to go cut wood. We would find trees that were already fallen and cut them up and bring the wood back to the house so that we had fire in our house. We didn't have a furnace like we think of today, and we had to go cut wood every day. Well, when it got really cold in the wintertime, there was a garage next to us, and we were about 8 or 9 miles out of town. We were in the country. My brothers and I would get one of these old tires, and we'd build a fire in the center of that thing, and we'd get that tire burning, and that thing would produce heat. But I'm telling you what, it would produce some black smoke, unbelievable. The darkness that hell is going to be producing will be much like that, a darkness that can be felt. God uses darkness for punishment. The Bible says that evil men seek darkness as a facilitator of their wicked deeds and as a protection from punishment, but God says just the opposite. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 7, the Lord says, "I formed the light and created darkness." God formed the light. God created darkness. Evil men exploit darkness, don't they? They exploit it. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, for the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isaiah 29 verse 15 says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us?" Isn't it amazing that people think they can hide from God? Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. Look at chapter 3 with me. John chapter 3. We have heard verse 16 many, many times, and many of you know it by heart. But I want you to look down at verse number 19. "After the Lord said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life," He went on to say in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You see, the godly man wants to do his work in the light so that people can see it and glorify God. The evil man, the wicked man, wants to do his works in the darkness so that people won't know about his wickedness and his evil deeds. When I had gone away to college, and I was in college, we had curfew. During the week, the guys had to be in, I think, at 10:30, and on weekends, we had to be in at 11 o'clock. And when I came home at Christmas, and we went out with some of the young people in the church, and we asked Dad, what time do we need to be home? He said, well, what time do you have to be home when you were in school? And we said, well, 11 o'clock. He said, we'll be home at 11 o'clock. And then he'd make a statement sometimes. He'd say, nothing good goes on after midnight anyway. You ever hear that? You know why? Men loved darkness rather than light. Young people, when you want to be out until 12 and 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, you're up to no good. There's no need for you to be out. Get home. There's a lot of wicked people in this world who love darkness rather than light and want to carry on their wickedness in the darkness. Evil men exploit darkness. So there is the purpose of darkness. Secondly, I want you to notice the producing of light. The producing of light. In Genesis, we read those verses in chapter 1. If you go back there with me for a moment, look at verses 2 and 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God shines out of the darkness of this world into our heart and life so that we can see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world so that the world could have light, so that He could give to this world light and life. Go back over to the Gospel of John and look at chapter 1. And there's some very similar verses as you have in Genesis chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's that Word talking about? Talking about Jesus, isn't it? He says down in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was all the way back in the beginning with God. He didn't just begin when He was born of Mary. He always was. He is eternal. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in what? Darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The light. God the Father sent His Son into this dark world to provide light. To let us see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of God. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ become light. We actually become reflectors of the light. And we are therefore called in the Bible children of light. And God separates the children of light from children of darkness. Because of this, the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, ye are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. The Hebrew word in Isaiah chapter 45 in verse number 7, it says, I form the light and create the darkness. The word form there means to squeeze into shape, to mold into form. Kind of like a potter molds a piece of clay and makes it into what he wants it to be. The process of becoming light is God shaping us, God molding us. Isaiah 64 and verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art potter, and we are all the work of Thy hand. God's purpose is to remove the darkness from our light, our life, and to form the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to become like Jesus. And if Jesus is the light of the world, then we become light. Amen? As He forms us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. I know we're looking at a lot of verses this morning, but I think it's important for us to understand what what God is saying to us. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8, many of you can quote for me verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, what is His purpose? Verse 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's what God is doing with you and with me. He is forming us. He's conforming us. He is taking the light of Jesus Christ and shining it into the heart of you and me and molding us, conforming us, making us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the day you get saved until the day you go to heaven, God is in a process of forming us, causing us to become like the Lord Jesus Christ, to be light in this world. And the more we're like Jesus, the more light we produce in the world. Paul used this concept to appeal to the first century Christians to teach them to forsake the works of darkness and to live in the light. And God wants us to forsake the darkness around us. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, He said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He wants us to produce good works. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Before we got saved, we were darkness. But then He goes on and says, "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." We're light in this dark world. We don't drink the alcohol like the world does. We don't take the drugs like the world does. We don't curse the name of God like the world does. We don't live like they do. Why? Because they're living in darkness. We're living in light. We are being conformed, changed. God is shining the light into the darkness that we once were so that we become the light of Christ and the world sees the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." How does God use the light? How does He use our light? He wants us to shine. He wants us to be the light. How does He use our light? Throughout history, God separated for Himself a people of light, the Bible says, to show forth the praise of His glory. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He's called you young people out of darkness. You go to school every day. If you're in a public school and you're in a lot of darkness in that school, God's called you out of that darkness into His light. He wants you to be a light in that school for Jesus Christ. On the job, you may say, "Well, I'm the only saved person in the factory or in the plant where I work or in the office where..." Praise God for that. That's like this dark room when we shut off the light and you're the one flashlight. How much brighter it shines when everything else is dark. God has entrusted you with all of those people to let them see the light of God in your life. The uniqueness of the child of light is seen in our zeal to do works of love to those that are in darkness as well as to those who are living in the light. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." It is the good works done by the children of light that we are fulfilling the command of God to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. The Apostle Paul affirmed this command in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. He said, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." The ultimate good work that you and I can perform is to turn other people to righteousness. Turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to the Old Testament with me to the book of Daniel. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 3. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3. And notice what God says. The ultimate good work that you and I can do. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. Got it? Daniel 12:3. It's in there, I promise you. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Daniel 12:3. And they that be what? Wise. You want to be wise? Amen? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. How can I have a bright light? How can I let my light shine? How can I be a bright light? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The brightest work that you and I can do is turn people to righteousness. Turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ. How's your light doing in this dark world? Have you turned anyone to righteousness? It's one of the reasons why we have visitation and soul winning on Tuesday nights and on Saturday mornings when we go out and share the gospel and we're pointing people to Jesus Christ. We want to be wise. And the Bible says that if we're wise, we will shine as the brightness of the firmament. We'll turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The ultimate good work you and I can perform is to turn others to righteousness. Now you say, preacher, what if I live in darkness? The honest truth is you do live in darkness. If I live in darkness, I ought to shine as a brighter light. I ought to live it and share it and witness and point other people to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was dark. We have a lot of people in this world whose foolish heart is darkened. A grateful heart will reflect the glory of God. But a murmuring and complaining heart communicates gloom and darkness to the world around us. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. And notice what the Lord says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And there's a colon at the end of that verse, which means the next verse explains what he's talking about. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How do we shine as lights in the world? One of the ways is by not murmuring and complaining. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. The Lord Jesus Christ warned us in Matthew 6 and verse 22. He said, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:11, he said, but now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or extortioner with such an one know not to eat. God says there's certain kinds of people, if even people who are called brothers, he said, if any man that is called a brother, if our brother or sister is still living in darkness, God said we should move away from them, not fellowship with them. Why? Because we're to be light in this dark world. And when our brothers and sisters turn to darkness and live in that darkness, God says, you move away from them because I want you to be light in this dark world in which you live. So, how can I let my light shine? Let your light shine before men that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There are two things that we've seen already this morning that are good works. What is the greatest way we can let our light shine? By turning many people to righteousness. Winning people to Jesus Christ. Turning them to Christ. What's the second thing we just saw here? God says if our light's going to shine bright, we must do all things without murmuring and disputing. Without grumbling and complaining. Wow. You done anything this week complaining about it? Did you grumble about anything this week? What happened to your light? If we were to go back to Matthew and read those preceding verses, what did the Lord say about our light? It's not supposed to be put under a bushel, is it? It's to be set on a hill so everybody can see it. When we murmur and complain, it's just like putting a bushel basket over our light. Putting a blanket over it. Smothering it. We become dark. And so this morning, as we think about carrying out the command of the Lord to be light, let your light so shine. First of all, we have to know Christ as our Savior. He is the light, and He shines His light into the darkness of our heart and life. We become light. And then when we become light, the best way is by turning others to righteousness. And secondly, by not allowing grumbling and complaining, murmuring and disputing in our life. We've all heard the old saying, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Amen? You know what? Don't let people hear you murmuring and complaining and griping and groaning. Let them see the light, the joy, the love. The honest truth is, whatever we're grumbling and complaining about, somebody probably has it worse than we do. Amen? And God has been so good to us and blessed us. We ought to be talking about the goodness of the Lord. We ought to be talking about all that God has done in our life. That's how we point others to Christ. That's how we turn people to righteousness. We talk about Jesus and we don't grumble and complain and gripe. Father, help us to let our light shine. Oh, how we need to get a hold of this and be bright lights in this dark world. Lord, we know that Your Word tells us that it's going to get darker. This old world's going to get worse and worse until Jesus comes back again. And I pray that You'll help us to allow Your light to shine through us. Help us to point others to the Savior. Turn them to righteousness. And then help us to just quit griping and complaining and groaning and murmuring. And instead, may we lift up and glorify the name of Jesus. May we be a light that attracts, not murmuring and complaining that repels. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books and turn with me to number 153. Number 153. And would you stand together as we sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give." If the Lord's speaking to you this morning, maybe you've never had the light of Christ shine into your heart and life. You've never been saved or born again, become a child of God. You're still a part of the darkness out there. We invite you to come and give your heart and life to Jesus. So I'm going to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved today. If you need to come and present yourself for baptism or unite with our church, we invite you to do that. Maybe some of you need to come and just say, "Lord, I've been guilty. I've been murmuring and complaining." Maybe you need to come and make that right. Perhaps you need to come and say, "Lord, I haven't been turning anybody to righteousness. I haven't won anybody to the Lord for a while," or maybe never. Maybe you need to come and just say, "Lord, I need Your help. I want to shine a bright light. I want to turn many to righteousness." If God's speaking to your heart, you come while we sing on the first verse, number 153. "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender." Sing the second. If God's speaking to you, listen. Do what He wants you to do while we sing it. "All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love.
Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you. And you may be seated. Let me ask the ushers to come and help us, if you would, gentlemen, with the offering for this morning. We invite you to join us and to give as the Lord has blessed you. We encourage you to be faithful in your giving. You'll never be sorry for giving to the Lord, and you'll never be sorry for obeying the Lord and bringing your tithes and your offerings and being faithful. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. We're talking about letting our light shine tonight. We'll take it a little bit further and talk a little bit more about the generosity that's involved in that. And being generous to give and to care and to help. God's chosen us to be the ones to finance the Great Commission and to get the Great Commission out and around the world. And what a blessing it is for us to be a part of that. And appreciate so much your faithfulness in doing that as well. Let's bow our heads together and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on the offering this morning. Brother Dick Walker, would you come and lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being our great God and blessing us so richly. Daily, we're loaded with benefits, and we are so blessed to live in America and enjoy the freedoms that we do. You've given us much. You provided and met our needs and blessed us thoroughly. We ask you now to bless this offering. Use it for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we support our missionaries literally around the world, that others might see the light of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to produce light in our own lives. Help us now to give and to cry out to you, Lord, and thank you for your many blessings upon us. And again, help us be mindful that perhaps today Christ will come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Noemi. I appreciate that. Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. Don't forget the service tonight, choir at 5:30. Let me encourage some of you who are not in the choir, get in there and help them out. Come see Brother Andy and let him know. And appreciate the good job the choir does. And 6 o'clock, the evening service. The Lord will be here tonight. Amen. Don't miss him. Okay? Encourage you to be here and be a part of the service this evening. Let's bow our heads together for a closing word of prayer. Brother Gary, would you come and lead us, please, sir, in our closing prayer? And be praying for those that have special needs. Pray for Brother Andy Inskeet. Pray for Fern. She's really been struggling this past week. And for the Lord's help and strength. Pray for Richard and Margaret. They're going through some struggles right now and going to be doing some traveling too, but pray for them also.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today, for standing before your throne. Thank you for loving us so much. You sent your Son to die for us, Lord. And God, we love you. And thank you for salvation through the shed blood of your Son. And God, when I was a young boy, we used to sing a song, I saw the light, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. That light is Jesus Christ. Thank you for shining so bright. Pray now that you'll be with Margaret and Richard. You know what their struggles are. You know what their needs are. I pray that you would just be with them in a mighty way and be with them as they go on the trip. We give you praise for a successful surgery for Sean Dibel. Just pray that you would be with him and give him strength, Lord. And for Brother Andy, praise you, God, that he's cancer-free. And just pray now that you would cause his back to give him to be fully restored. And for Brother Bill, thank you that he's here today. Bless him, Lord, and restore him to full strength and health. And pray for Miss Fern, Lord, and she's a rock here at our church. We just pray you would bless her and heal her quickly and bring her back. Thank you, God, again for your Son. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.